Hello, everyone. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Kim and I are so excited to be with you this evening. She's got such an awesome word on Hanukkah, and I started reading about Hanukkah last year, and I got real excited, and she said she was going to teach on it tonight because I'm sure I'm going to learn lots of stuff. I've got my notepad ready, and we've been talking and chatting, and she's all ready, so I'm just going to let her take it away. So go ahead, Kim.
Thank you, Kalita. I join Kalita in saying Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. And no, I don't celebrate every Jewish holiday, but there are some of them that are just so precious and so beautiful and that reflect Jesus and his love for us so much that I can't help but celebrate them. I've only been celebrating Hanukkah for a few years, and I really enjoy it. I think it's a beautiful holiday. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that tonight, but when the Lord started talking to me about this message tonight, it was not only about Hanukkah, but it was also about the season of miracles that we're in today in 2017. And God is not done with this year yet. Kalita just made a statement that I had to write down. We were talking, and I said, there's something that bugs me about this time every year. When December 1st hits, believers often begin to say, well, I was believing God for this, but it's not going to happen this year, and they start looking toward the next year. But God is not finished with this year. And as we were talking about that, Kalita said, in what race do you slow down the last few minutes of the race? And it just hit my spirit when she said that. There is no race where you slow down the last few yards. That's when you get that second wind and you press in with all your might. So in this season of miracles, I'm hoping that this message tonight will just fire you up to do just that, to know that it's the end of the race. You can see the finish line, but you're not going to slow down. You're going to press in all the more. So let's talk a few minutes about the holiday of Hanukkah, and then we'll go into the rest of the message that God has given me for tonight. As many of you already know, Hanukkah is a Jewish holiday, and it's an eight-day holiday. It's in the wintertime, and it's called the Festival of Lights. And it's celebrated, the most pictorial thing that you see about it is it's celebrated with a nightly menorah lighting. And it's also celebrated with special prayers and praise and fried foods. Yes, Kalita, it is celebrated with fried foods. I had to laugh when I read that. You would not like that part. But the word Hanukkah itself means dedication, and it's named this because it celebrates the rededication of the temple of God. In the second century, the Holy Land was being ruled by Syrian Greeks, and what they tried to do was to force the people of Israel to accept the Greek culture and the Greek beliefs instead of observing the Word of God and their belief in God. And they were a strong and big army, this Syrian Greek army. They were a mighty army, and they had taken over the temple, and they had defiled the oils, and they had just done all kinds of horrible things. But against all odds, a small band of faithful Jews led by a man called Judah the Maccabee. Don't you just love that? If you're going to ever press in to total victory, you're going to have praise in there somewhere. I love that word, Judah. And this small band of faithful Jews led by Judah the Maccabee defeated one of the mightiest armies on the earth, drove the Greeks from their land, and reclaimed the temple in Jerusalem, and they rededicated it to the service of God. That's an awesome, awesome thing. And when they had overcome this army and they had their temple back, they wanted to light the seven-branched candelabra that was in the temple. It was the temple's menorah at that time, and it had seven branches. But they only could find a day's worth, a one-day supply of oil to keep it burning. See, the oil had to be set apart, and it had to be pure unto God, and it had to be created in a specific way, and there was only one day's worth of that oil left, and it would take them 8 days to create more oil according to the Bible, according to the way it had to be done. But in faith, they lit that candle with that single day's oil, and miraculously, the menorah and the one-day supply of oil lasted for 8 days until the new oil could be prepared. So that's the miracle of the menorah and how Hanukkah is celebrated. So you see at the heart of the festival is the nightly menorah lighting, and it's a nine-branch menorah. Remember, the one before had seven, but this one has nine. Eight to remember the 8 days of Hanukkah, and the one was called a shamus, the candle used to light the other candles. And this makes me think of Jesus. I don't know what it does for you, but he's the one that lit us. He was the candle that lit the rest of us. A lot of people call that candle the servant candle because it serves. And that's what Jesus did for us. He came down from his throne and he became a servant that we might be called the righteousness of God, that we might be called lights of this earth. And I just love that. So since the object of the lighting, it was to publicize the miracles. You know, in the Old Testament, they often set a stone or built something in a place where they met with God. And that's kind of what the menorah is for the Jewish people. It symbolizes the miracle of that day. The candles remind them of the holiday and the redemption and how a small group of people overcome a great enemy and took back what belonged to God. It doesn't matter how small you are. If God is with you, just like with King David, you can overcome any enemy. Seven, as in the candelabra before the menorah, represents the numbers of the world. 7 days in a week, the world was created in 7 days. But then there's the number eight, which the menorah is. It represents that which is above, that which does not fit into the neat slots that holds the bits and pieces of our lives, but it speaks of the Godhead. And eight is the number of miracles, and you're going to want to remember that. Eight is the number of miracles. I love one thing that the Jews recite on this special day of prayer, and they pray this way every day for 8 days. They pray three times a day. I'm not saying you have to. I'm not even saying you have to celebrate this or acknowledge it, but I'm just telling you it's a very neat holiday, and it's centered around Jesus, the light of the world. But they recite this one special prayer every day, and then they add praise and thanksgiving to God. They say, "Thank you, God, for delivering the strong into the hands of the weak, the many into the hands of the few, and the wicked into the hands of the righteous." I just love that. Now, Hanukkah begins on the eve of Kislev 25. That's a month. And it continues, like I said, for 8 days. And the Jewish people that celebrate this, they say that we have to listen carefully to what the candles are saying, what the flickering flames are telling us. And a couple of the things that they believe the candles are saying is never be afraid to stand up for what's right. Judah Maccabee and his small band faced daunting odds, but that did not stop them. With prayer on their lips and faith in their heart, they entered into the battle of their lives and they won. And we can do the same thing today. Another thing that they talk about the candles saying is a little light goes a long way. The Hanukkah candles are to be lit when the sun goes down and put in a doorway to serve as a beacon for the darkness around. No matter how dark it is outside, the candle shows light, and that's exactly what we do. That's what I've been talking about in the Christmas reflections, for us to be a light to others. And that's one of the things that the menorah represents, that we can be a light to others. And it may look increasingly dark, but if a small candle will make a big light. And, you know, even during this holiday season, you may feel like you're in a really dark place, but the light will shine forth if you'll just allow it to. Now, I want to share with you a couple of the blessings that are spoken over this holiday. One of them says, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to kindle the Hanukkah light." Another blessing that they recite says, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who performed miracles for our forefathers in those days and at this time." He's the same God today. And another one says, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has granted us life, who has sustained us and enabled us to reach this occasion." That's one of the things that I was doing before this call even started. I was walking through my house thanking God that he had granted me life and sustained me through some hard seasons and caused me to come to this place, still in peace, still walking with God. And, you know, we all go through hard things, but we can all say that we're still here. We're, if you're on this call, you're still here. You're still seeking God. You're still going toward that light, and that's what we have to do. The Bible, in the Bible, the main prophetic reading of Hanukkah is in Zechariah 4:6. "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Why? Because the biggest lesson of Hanukkah was the power of the Spirit, the ability of God's people to live by his command and to overcome every enemy, even one seemingly more powerful than them. That's the true lesson of Hanukkah. It's not just that the oil burned for 8 days. It's that a small group of people decided they were going to stand on the word of God and overcome an enemy that appeared to be stronger than them. That's what we're doing together. When we come together in covenant as partners of this ministry, we're coming together and we're banding together and we're saying we're going to stand on the word of God and we're going to see victory and we're not letting go. So again, Jesus is the light of our world, and if you choose to get a menorah and you choose to celebrate Hanukkah, just spend time with Jesus for 8 days. There's never a bad time for that. You don't need a holiday to do it. You can do it any time. But that's the meaning of Hanukkah, and that's one of the reasons I celebrate it. It just reminds me so much of Jesus. That's all I can think about for 8 days. And I love that 8 is the number of miracles and the number of dedication, because remember, at that time, they dedicated the temple back to God. According to Exodus 22:29-30, a first fruit also comes during this time, because the Bible says in Exodus 22 that on the 8th day, the first fruits of everything, whether crops or animals, were to be dedicated to God. So that's what we do when we give our first fruit offering. We dedicate it unto the Lord. Now, one of the biggest keys to Bible prophecy is to realize that God tries to communicate with mankind by often repeating the same events. It says in Ecclesiastes 1:9, "What has been is what will be, and there is nothing new under the sun." I read that as I was studying about Hanukkah and how, you know, year after year we celebrate the same festivals and the same holy days to God. And the Bible says, "What has been is what will be, and there's nothing new under the sun." I don't know that I've read that knowingly in a few years, but the very night that I read that in the Bible, then I heard another man say the same thing on TV that night, and it just kind of struck me funny. So God, we go in these cycles with God, and if we will learn that that's how he operates and that he's showing us things over and over again, then we will get in the cycle with God and we'll always be in his timing. Now, Saturday morning, to be real honest with you, I was really not looking forward to this teaching. I had been spending some time at home with the Lord, and I had not studied. And I felt like I was supposed to talk to you about Hanukkah, but I didn't feel like that was all of it. And I was kind of not looking forward to pulling it all together. But I awoke Saturday morning and got up, and I was just talking to the Lord. And I was talking to him about Hanukkah, and he said to me, "Did you know that breakthrough creates open portals?" it creates open heavens. And I said, no, I've never thought about that, Lord. And he just began to talk to me about portals and open heavens, and that gets my interest because we all want an open heaven over us, and there's just a few ways in the Bible that we see an open heaven or a portal can be created. But there's places of prayer, places of worship, and places of obedience that open portals over us. Kenneth Hagin, in my opinion, had a portal opened over him when he received his healing from a deadly disease. He had this thing open over him, the anointing of God, a portal, an open heaven, whatever you want to call it, that allowed him to impart to hundreds and thousands of people the same healing that he received that day. John Avanzini at one time was teaching on breakthrough in finances, and he had a personal breakthrough, and he too was able to release that same anointing to other people. It opened something over him. And we see this in the life of different ministries, that they break through in a certain area, and then they're able to impart that same thing. That's because something opens over them. They press in, and something comes open. These portals open, and the anointing flows out of them. One of the great mysteries of God is the existence of portals, doors, and passageways leading to and from the heavenly realms. We've read about it in the Bible. And when you're standing in a place of a portal, it feels like an open heaven because it is. I've been to these places in my times of worship with God. A heavenly portal is a opening of light that offers divine protection by which angels and heavenly beings can come and go. We read about that in the Old Testament, and they come and go without demonic interference. We know in the book of Daniel that it talks about the demonic forces trying to hinder his prayers from being answered. The Greek word for door is T-H-U-R-A, and it's defined by Strong's as a portal or an entrance providing an opening or closure, literatively and figuratively. The apostle said in 1 Corinthians 2:12, "Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, I found the Lord had opened a door or a portal for me." John Paul Jackson said, "God has designed portals to begin in the third heaven, to travel through the second heaven, and to open upon the earth." You can look up online about John Paul Jackson and portals, and he has some really good teachings. Throughout Scripture, though, we see the existence of doorways and portals. Psalms 24:7 says, "Lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in." So that's one of the things that happens in portals. And Psalms 78:23 says, "He commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven." Now, I know some of you are thinking, what does this have to do with Hanukkah? Well, just hold on. It's going to all come together at the end. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." John 1:51 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And then in Revelation 4, we see that the word says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I'll show you things which must take place after this. And immediately I was in the Spirit." The door that it is talking about here in Revelation suggests that God's invitation for us is to have access to his heavenly realm. God wants to open the portals of heaven and release unparalleled visitation of heavenly hosts if we can simply believe it. Jacob discovered a heavenly portal. Remember in Genesis 12:8 it says, "Jacob spent the night in a place where his forefather Abraham had called upon the name of the Lord. And he rested his head upon a covenant stone, and a portal opened. And Jacob saw a vision of a ladder with angels ascending and descending upon it. And when he awoke from his sleep, he said, said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You can read about that in Genesis 28. Jacob even erected a monument and named the place Bethel, or dwelling place of God. And several times we see in the Bible after this time that the Lord told Jacob to return to Bethel where he would speak to him. Why did he tell him to do that? Because it had become an open portal, and Jacob could go there and he could speak to God and hear from God. Have you ever wondered why the Lord would, who could speak to you anywhere, would tell you to go somewhere else so that he could talk to you? While God was talking to Elijah in 1 Kings 19, he instructed him to go to Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, where the Lord could talk to him. That was an open place there. Divine portals exist in the earth today. The city of Jerusalem is a portal. It's no wonder why that city has been attacked more than any city I can think of, but praise the Lord, just recently our president helped open up that portal back when he declared Jerusalem a capital. In North Carolina, there's a place called the Moravian Falls that Rick Joyner has talked about, that him and his staff have had numerous angelic visitations on that property that was once owned by the Moravians. It was a community of faith, and they declare that several portals exist there because it's been prayed over for over 100 years. Can you imagine a place that's been prayed over for 100 years? While living in Babylon, the prophet Daniel encountered angels who had battled with principalities. We talked about that earlier. So we see that there are open portals, and there are demonic forces that try to stop that. But the keys is to pray, worship, and seek God and find out where those places are, those open places. I remember at a place I lived a few years ago, my prayer room was at the back of the house, and there was this one particular place in my hallway. When you walked into that place, something shifted in the atmosphere. You could feel it, and it was simply because it was an opening, and it was simply because I had spent so much time praying in that back room. It wasn't only I that could sense that, but other people that came into my house, when they get to that certain point in the hallway, something changed. And see, that happens for all of us. Now, we read about in Acts when all of the people were in one accord and suddenly the heavens opened and a sound from heaven was heard that resembled a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole place. Supernatural manifestations began to take place, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost because the heavens opened up. So God had said to me when I was trying to study Hanukkah, places of breakthrough create open portals. When Judah Maccabee and his army won this battle and defeated the enemy, a portal was opened over these 8 days, this time of miracles, an opening, a place for breakthrough, victory, and miracles, just like I talked to you about earlier with Kenneth Hagin and the portal that opened over him when he received his blessing. When they overcome, they opened a portal over this time, and they have continued to celebrate these 8 days for these many, many years. I was pondering on all this and what the Lord was saying to me, and then I listened to a message by Bill Johnson of Bethel in Reading, and he made a statement at the beginning of his message that just went along with everything the Lord was saying to me. He said that he and his staff had been seeking the Lord and that a lot of people were standing in faith for miracles and breakthroughs and victories in 2017, but we've seen some wonderful things happen. There is no denying that, but maybe you've not seen what you were believing to see manifest in 2017. Bill Johnson said that the Lord revealed to them that we are going to see more miracles, more breakthroughs happen in the last month of this year than we've saw in the rest of the year. And that excited me. I knew God was saying to me, there's an opening here. There's a place where miracles, signs, and wonders, and breakthroughs, and victories, and healings can come through. We're in a time, we're in a season. The portal is open. You can have it if you want it. But just like Kalita said, you can't slow down the last few legs of the race. You've got to press in all the more. The portals may be open, but if you don't do anything about it, you're not going to see anything. And like I said earlier, it bugs me when we get to this point in the year and we give up on God. He is still the God that changes things in a day, changes things in a moment. He is still the God that can turn things around for you in the blink of an eye. He doesn't need 12 months to do it. He is God. All he needs to do it is your faith and your belief that it's happening for you now. So there's open portals. There's two things you can do when something's open. You can give into it or you can receive from it. I read this sign the other day and I just loved it. It said, may my life be full of thanks and giving. And I have cultivated thanks in my life in 2017 like I never have before. I have purposed in my heart, and Kalita has done the same thing, to be thankful for every little thing and to give God thanks. And another thing that I have done in this season, it's been a big season of giving to me. My daughter and I were talking about that today, and, you know, we were talking about the ministry and how people have a hard time giving in December. And she said, I've given more this month than I have all year, and I've done the same thing. I don't know why. It's just God having me do it. But he's had me also giving into a time of miracles. When I was listening to Bill Johnson the other day, he said, sow into this word. So I did that. And then today, I was listening to a word. I wasn't going to share this with you, but I just feel like I should. I was listening to a word today, and the Lord said, again, sow into this word. And I said, okay. I said, but why? And I don't usually question God when he tells me to sow, but I felt like he was going to show me something. So I said, why, God, why do I sow into a word? And he has been talking to me lately a lot about plowing a field. And he's been talking to me about if you don't plow, your seed cannot be received. And he showed me today that when I hear a word that goes off in my spirit or that really bears witness with me, I know it's what he's been talking to me about, that word, when it affects me that way, when it jumps in my spirit, when I feel the anointing of God on it, that word has plowed up something in me. And that plowed up ground is ready to receive the word. And so when I sow into that word, I'm sowing into good ground, and that's what he was telling me today. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me a scripture for that. And he took me to Mark 4. In verse 3, it says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Okay, we know this scripture. It fell by the wayside. It did not fall into ground that had been plowed and ready for seed. Verse 5 says, some fell by stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Again, it didn't have enough plowing that had taken place for the earth to receive that seed. And then verse 7 says, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But verse 8 said, I'm sorry, I didn't even realize it was verse 8, and we're talking about the 8 days of Hanukkah. But verse 8 says, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And that's what the Lord said to me today. When a word goes off in your spirit, when that word comes and plows the ground of your heart and you sow a seed into that word, that's when you reap some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I thought that was a really, really good word. Isaiah 28 says, once plowing is done, a man sows and scatters. And I like that. But I want to go, that was a side trail, and I but I felt like somebody needed to hear that. I want to go back for just a moment about 8 being the number of miracles. Remember, we've talked about that a couple of times. And in this 8 days, today is the first day of Hanukkah. So Hanukkah is for the next 8 days. So I am imploring you today for the next 8 days to press in and to pray and to worship God and expect a miracle. God is not finished with this year. I have had that word confirmed to me over and over again. God is not finished with this year, and we are under an open heaven right now in these next 8 days. There's no better time to get your miracle. And I was thinking about all this today, and someone forwarded me an email from the Elijah List by Teresa Phillips, and the top of it, the title of it said, "We're in a season of miracles." And so I read, and she was talking about she had lost a valuable watch, and the Lord kept telling her to believe for miracles. And so finally she asked God for a miracle, and she found her watch. It actually showed up on her dresser or somewhere like that the next day. And God said, "Now do you believe it's a season of miracles?" And she said, "Yes, I believe." And the Lord said to her, "Then keep praying. Now here's what the Lord said to her, "For I'm giving you an opportunity to ignite faith in others and tell them to start looking for miracles and write them down this season. For I'm going to do many, many miracles. Some may be small, some may be large. Some will seem insignificant, but it's all me. Write them down, and next year there will be a book of Christmas miracles." So I wanted to share that word for you today and show you that God has confirmed this over and over again. If you get anything tonight, get this. The year is not over. We are in a season of miracles. You guys are our partners, so I feel comfortable talking to you about sowing. So as you sow this month, sow into your season of miracles and declare that the ground has been plowed for a word, for a miracle for you, and that that seed will be immediately received and you will receive a 30, 60, and 100-fold return. We are in a season of miracles. If you've not seen what you were believing God for this year, it is not the time to slow down. We have plenty of time left for God to do everything he said he would do. I am not stopping. This is going to be a season of miracles for me. I am pressing into God. I am pressing into his word. I'm going to get my second wind, and I'm going to run a little faster and a little farther and finish. And I want all you guys to do that with me. We pray for our partners every single day. And I've heard testimonies lately, and I'm so thrilled to hear your testimonies. Please keep them coming and encourage others. This is a time of miracles. This is a season of miracles. God is here and ready to do whatever you need him to do. Just believe him for it. The ground has been plowed tonight for you to receive this word. It has been plowed. It's ready for the seed, and it's ready to produce your miracle. So that's all I have for you tonight. I hope you received that word. I hope it was for somebody, and I hope you can enjoy this Hanukkah season and the rest of this year. Thank you, Kalita.
Oh, my. Well, I have a couple things I need to share. When you were talking about this, about sewing, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, when you sow into that word, you also make a covenant with that word. And as soon as that, he said that, you said, and when you were teaching, you said, "God, give me scripture." I'm like, "Explain, Lord." And he said, "I gave my son so that we could have that word." So Jesus was the word, but he gave his son for our covenant. So that when we give into the word, like tonight, if we give into a New Thing Ministries and we give into this word, we make covenant with that word, because our giving mixes with his gift, which is Jesus, which is that word. And it's like the mixing of the blood. It's like the, you know, when you mix blood brothers, it's coming into agreement with that word by sowing, because God sowed his son, which was the word. Does that make sense? He sowed the word.
Yes, he did. He sowed into good ground.
Thank God
into good ground.
Yes. So I've always heard, you know, I've heard different ministers say, you know, when a word speaks to you, sow into it because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's good. But when the Lord explained it tonight, it was really good. The other thing that I wrote down was, we're in the Jewish year 5778, and we're getting ready to go into 2018, which is the year of the door, or we could even say it's the year of the portal.
Yes.
So we're moving in.
Yes.
We are in. Currently, God's already moved into the Jewish calendar. We're currently already in the year of the portal.
We are already in
the year of the portal where angels can come and go, if we will position ourselves, like you said, which is awesome. And the other
I agree.
Thing,
and even the scripture that he gave me in the book of Mark was verse 8, and I didn't realize it until I was reading it. So we are in that place of opening. We are in that place of miracles. You know, not to get too graphic, but we're all adults on here. When something is born, there has to be an opening.
Yes.
For it to be born. There has to be an opening. If there's not a natural opening, they create an opening.
Exactly.
So
it's a breakthrough.
Us pressing into God is creating that opening for a miracle to be born. That's exciting to me.
That's exciting to me because we are already in the portal. We are already, if we sow into this under this portal, I mean, all of this is tying together. And the other thing is, when I had studied...
and Kalita, let me say something, okay?
Sure.
All you guys listening out there, I'm not trying to get anyone to sow into New Thing Ministries. That is not my intent at all. I'm trying to get you to press in for your miracle.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get to you. Press into your miracle. You sow wherever you want to sow, but press into your miracle and don't give up. God is not done with this year. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. I wasn't either. I was just excited to what the Lord was showing. He was like the revelation.
I know. I was excited when he gave me scripture to back it up, too. I laugh because I'm always asking God, okay, show me that in the scripture. Like, I don't believe him, and it's not that. But if I have the word to back it up, it makes so much more sense to me.
Yes.
So it is exciting when he explains it to us.
Yes. And the last thing was Judah Maccabee. The word Maccabee means hammer. So his nickname was Judah the Hammer. One of my favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 23:29. Is my word not like a fire and a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces?
Yes.
So when you said that Judah the Maccabee, so Judah the Hammer and a small remnant, you said stood on the word. Literally, Judah the Maccabee, Judah the Hammer was going by what he called the Torah, but going by the word of God, saying we're going to obey the word of God. And he, as the hammer in God's hand, had the breakthrough that created the portal, the opening for Hanukkah. Judah the hammer.
Yes.
Which means
isn't
Judah's
that awesome?
Praise. Judah's praise.
Yes.
Hammers the word.
The praise and the word broke through.
Yes. So the praise and the word through these next 8 days, that's what we need to really do to break through. That's what we do.
Yes.
The praise and the word. So I am extremely
absolutely
excited about that tonight. That's awesome. This is awesome. Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. So 8 means door or portal. It means miracles, dedication. So, you know, as we spend these next 8 days celebrating the dedication, you know, Judah wanted to restore the temple. We are the temple of God as we restore, you know, come before the Lord and cleanse our temple and praise. And they wanted to offer sacrifices. We offer sacrifices of praise, and we worship, and we stand on the word. Then the breakthrough comes, and we sow into the word, and the breakthrough comes, and it opens the portal. It all ties in together.
I know, it does all tie in together. Even when I was listening to you talk about 8 being the number of miracles and portals and things being birthed, it's all the same thing. If you look at the life of a baby being born, it's all the same thing. The portal has to open for the baby to come through and be born. It's all together. God is so awesome.
Yes, because the water has to break.
Yes.
There's your breakthrough, the breakthrough.
And the water is the washing of the water of the word.
Yes.
It's all the same.
Yes. When my water broke, I mean, with my second child, I knew right then, I mean, he was coming 2 months early, but the doctors came in right away because they knew as soon as the water broke, we were going. We were having the baby. I mean, so what do we need to do? We need to break out the word, which is the hammer, which is which is what judo, the praise. So we mix our praise and our word and our giving, and it's just awesome because God always intertwines everything, and it's just awesome. So
he really
okay,
does.
I'm going to pray.
I've been excited about it.
Okay, I'm going to pray, Father.
Okay,
Jesus, you're awesome, God. You're just so awesome, Father. We stand in awe of you tonight. God, we stand in awe of your word. We are just so thankful, so grateful, Lord, that you chose to come as a baby and to be born and to become the word made flesh, God. And we're so thankful, Father, for a Jewish man named Judah, the Maccabee, the hammer. God, we're thankful, Lord, that he stood up and he showed us the way, God, to stand up to oppression and to the enemy, and how you were with him, and you're always with a remnant. You always are with whomever is on your side. If we are on the side of the word, then, God, you are with us. And, Father, I just thank you right now for each partner listening tonight, God. And, Lord, we just right now, God, we just thank you for them, Father, and we ask you that their giving would just open a portal, Father, over their lives and over their families, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. And we just stand before you tonight, Father, and we thank you for this word that Kim brought forth, Lord. And we praise you, God, and we purpose right now, Father, for the next 8 days to just honor you and to give attention to your word and to give attention to praise, Father. And we just thank you that as we sow into whatever ministry, whatever place you tell us to sow, whatever person, God, whatever we sow this month in our first fruit giving, God, we thank you that as you show us and direct us, God, that it's portals that are being opened because we've already stepped in to an open portal, an open heaven for 5778, God. And Lord, right now, I just speak to any partner who would be weary, and I come against weariness right now in the name of Jesus, and I say you will go, you will loose them and let them go. And Father, right now, we just speak a new life, a fresh breath, God, a second wind, Father, that as we see 2018 coming, God, as we can look down the road and we can see it coming right along, God, I thank you right now for the second wind kicking in, God, and that every person on this call and every person that will listen to this call, Father, that they would just get a second wind in the Holy Spirit, God, and they would just determine to finish strong, that they would begin to pick up the pace, and they would set their gaze upon the prize, upon the end, at the end of this race, God, and they would determine to finish strong. Father, we just thank you, God, for all that you have shown us, God, and how you are so faithful to answer us, and you're so faithful to pour out your spirit and your blessing and revelation, Lord, and we are forever grateful, Lord. We just thank you for this open heaven, God. We receive it, God. We acknowledge this open heaven. We are going to be faithful to acknowledge this open heaven, and we are going to write down, Lord, right now, we just look for miracles. We are going to look for miracles for the next 8 days, God, and we're going to write them down. We're going to write them down, Father, just as you have instructed us to do. And, Father, we just know that you're just full of greatness and surprises and awe. Awesomeness, Lord, and we just give you thanks, honor, and glory, Father. And I just pray a special blessing also, Father, over every family for Christmas, that the families would be loving, that there would be opportunity to witness to unsaved loved ones, that there would be a great peace come upon every believer's home, that if strife would try to come in, it would have to stay outside. God, we just release angels to every partner's home right now to minister to them, Father, and to show grace upon their lives, Father. We just thank you for this, and we ask you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have anything else,
now,
Kim?
Father, I just thank you. Yes. I just thank you, Lord, for this word tonight, God. I thank you. And Father, I come into agreement with Kalita, and your word says where two agree is touching anything, it is done by our Father, so we know it is done. I thank you, God, that we have indeed entered into a season of miracles. Father, I release an anointing for breakthrough and miracles upon everyone on this call right now in Jesus' name. I'm asking you to saturate them with an anointing for breakthrough and miracles. Father, I thank you that as people write down their miracles, that just with our partners alone, God, that there will indeed be an entire book of miracles from not only the next 8 days, God, but this Christmas season through December 31st, God, that there will be a book of miracles that will come forth just from our partners, God. I declare and decree miracles over everyone on this call, into their life, into their finances. God, if they have any kids that are away from you, we call them home this Christmas season in Jesus' name. God, if the people on this call that need healing, we call them healed this Christmas season in Jesus' name. God, for those that need financial miracles, Lord, we call it done this season in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for miracles coming to our partners from the left and the right. And every time they turn around, God, there'll be another miracle. They can't even keep up with all of them, Father. I release that into their lives right now in Jesus' name. Lord, let this be a month that we glorify you. We dedicate this next 8 days to you. We dedicate the rest of this month, the rest of this year. We dedicate it to you, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that it is an open heaven for us, but we can converse with you, God, face-to-face and one-on-one, and we'll not only have miracles, but we'll have visitations and we'll have experiences with you, God, unlike anything we've ever had. Father, I just thank you that the rest of this month is going to be a time of blessing for every partner of this ministry and for their families. Lord, may they be blessed beyond their wildest imaginations, because you are not done with this year yet. And I'm asking you to begin to show everyone on this call that you are not done. Let this word rise up in them, God, and let them get their second wind tonight, Father God, and let them press in like never before and receive all you have for them. It's already done. It already belongs to them now. Jesus completed it, so let them receive it now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Just like Kalita said, I thank you for every partner. I'm so thankful. I'm so humbled, God, that they would covenant with us. So, God, I'm asking you to bless them. Your word says that if I bless them, they're blessed. And, God, I bless them in the name of Jesus. So I'm asking you to manifest that blessing in their life from this day forth. Let them finish strong.
Yes.
Stronger than they began this year, Lord. Let every partner finish strong in their finances, in their household, in their family, in their ministry, in their business, in their emotions, in their mind, in their health. Let them finish strong, God. That is our cry to you tonight. And we give you praise, because I know you hear us, and I know because you hear us, we have what we've asked.
Yes.
So we thank you for it. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are so, so, so thankful y'all joined us this evening. And as always, I will send out the callback number tomorrow. I will have a link for the call, and I will also have Kim's notes, and it will go out sometime tomorrow. So we love you, we bless you, and we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah.
Amen.
Bye-bye.